Well, so you all have come in for pruning today. I'm not sure that's what you had in mind when you woke up and came to church this morning, but Jesus in the gospel today says that he's the vine and we're the branches, and real life comes from being attached to him, from abiding and dwelling in him, and being attached to him comes with a purpose, with bearing fruit in the world, with loving others, our brothers and sisters, as God has loved us. We abide in his love, our second lesson says, and so through abiding in his love, we come to love others. But as I tried to show the children in the children's sermon just a couple minutes ago, branches of many plants, especially those of fruit-bearing vines or flowering shrubs, Lord knows they need a little bit of cleaning up from time to time in order to do the things that they're meant to do, if they're going to produce good flowers or good fruit. They need to be pruned, which, as I've learned how to take care of 2 acres of plants and shrubs, is more of an art than a science. The dead stuff needs to come off, of course, and then the parts that are weaker, infected by insects or fungus, branches that happen to be pointing in the wrong direction or competing with better branches need to get snipped a little bit. And sometimes long branches just need to be made shorter because the vine is more manageable that way. The better fruit comes on those parts of the lateral branches that are closest to the main vine. Otherwise, the plant spends all of its energy just trying to sustain long, spindly branches rather than on actually making berries or flowers. And the thing is, it's the same way with our souls, with our spirits. Jesus is the vine, and we're the branches. But while we have been joined to Christ, the truth is that we don't always grow in the right direction. And sometimes we're susceptible to, well, let's call them spiritual bugs that can weaken us. The vine, after all, is planted in the world. Our life in Christ is lived out in neighborhoods, in a culture that's not always conducive to loving one's neighbor. There's no such thing as a spiritual greenhouse in which we can sort of live the perfect Christian life of love under controlled climate conditions. Sometimes the weather isn't always conducive to the best growth, but it's in this world, among the people where we're planted, that we're called to bear fruit. In the ancient language of the Christian spiritual tradition, trying to grow in a sinful world means that we often have unhealthy attachments, or what St. Augustine called disordered loves. An unhealthy attachment is anything that helps us avoid real engagement with God. Now, that's a pretty broad category. Such an unhealthy attachment could be a simple action, like working too hard at one's job, or drinking too much wine, or spending too much time surfing the internet. Sometimes you can spend so much time on Facebook that you forget to pray about the problems that are bothering you. Or an unhealthy attachment could be a sense of your own status, or a political persuasion that shapes how you see everything in the world. And it can also be a pattern of feeling, an emotion that feels comfortable. That last one, an unhealthy attachment as a pattern of feeling, can be kind of difficult to grasp. It's sort of abstract because we often think of feelings as just being what they are. And that is often the case. In and of themselves, feelings are neither good nor bad. They're just there. until we grow attached to them as a way of being, as a habit that we run to. For example, an unhealthy attachment of feeling might be needing to be positive all the time. So much so that in needing to be positive, we avoid difficult situations that aren't positive. But sometimes God, in fact, calls us to places that aren't positive or enjoyable. Say, like walking with a friend through grief. That's not fun. And our friends who are grieving aren't served well if we just try to tell them to cheer up and not let their grief bother them so much. What they need are people who can be with them in the midst of their sadness. And if we insist on staying upbeat, well, we won't go to where God has called us, and we won't be able to show the love that God wants us to be able to show. A disordered attachment is anything that gets in the way of God being first in our lives. And here's the thing. In the Christian spiritual tradition, we have recognized that even things that are good and godly can become, if we let them, disordered when we allow them to get in the way of trusting first in God's sovereignty, in God's rule over our lives. For example, that pipe organ over there, it's a marvelous instrument, but are hymns played on a pipe organ more worshipful than songs played on a piano? Is a sermon preached from the center aisle better than a sermon preached from the pulpit? If just for grins, on some Sunday morning, all the Butler area Lutheran congregations decided to have one worship service down at the Diamond at 10 a.m., not in their own buildings, with their own people, how would we feel about that? By the way, that's not actually an idea. I just came up with that for this sermon. But it's an interesting thought, and I had to think a lot about it as the news last night came from the Diocese of Pittsburgh, of the Roman Catholic Church, where our brothers and sisters in this area, Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, are going from five parishes to one. God is certainly going to show up in worship. Do our attachments get in the way? What are we attached to? What is attached to us? As branches of the vine, Jesus, unhealthy attachments need to be pruned away, and things need to be reordered a little bit, so that it can be clear that we're not at the center of our own universe. But Christ is, and real life comes from dwelling in him. And sometimes we need pruning so that it can be clear that we ourselves are not the vine. He is. We're just branches. And pruning can happen in many different ways, but I believe that it happens regularly in worship, where Christ comes to us and reminds us that he's the source of our lives. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that it's his word that cleanses his people. And when Jesus says, "The word, you have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you," that word cleansed in the original Greek sounds the same as the word prune. It has the same root. And I think what we're meant to understand from this is that whenever we encounter God's word, that's where the pruning happens, because that's where Christ comes to us and reestablishes that relationship that should be first and primary in our lives. Christ prunes us by giving us his word, and his word comes to us in worship. Our worship is not fundamentally something that we do for God. Rather, it's something that God does for us. It's where Christ meets us and reminds us of what really matters. And it's here where Christ infuses us with the nutrients that we need for new growth and new life. It's where his word of forgiveness is announced, where his body and blood are given, and where we're drawn into the habits of things that matter, habits of love, habits of communion. Today, God speaks this amazing word that Jesus, the vine, has been planted in our world and that he's the source of our life and he won't allow anything to take second place. In his own cross, he bore the consequences of all our unhealthy attachments. In his cross, he bore the consequences of our sin, the way we love things more than we love God who made all things. But God raised him up. And now he's a living vine. Our sin and our death no longer have dominion over him. And part of his Easter life in us is that he is constantly at work to reform and renew us. And here Christ opens to us new ways of being, new ways of living, new ways of feeling, and new habits that bear fruit. Instead of growing out spindly on our own, we discover our truest life comes in communion with him and with others. Here we discover what it means to really abide and dwell with him. And when we do that, that fruit of love, it just appears. Amen.